You're no different from the rest of us. You got your great big plans, and baby, just like the rest of us, you really just don't Welcome to Ask Pudge, the only radio show where you get to ask Pudge. The concept is simple. You ask questions. I answer them. That's really just about it. You are clueless. I'm clueless too. But I'm the one answering the questions. And our first question is from TF23 on News Pearl.
Did you go see the Da Vinci Code at the theater this weekend?
No, I don't go to theaters in general. You know, if there's a movie I really want to see, then I'll go. But I really don't care one way or another too much about this movie. I probably will see it when it comes out on DVD. I've got it on my Netflix queue already. So it'll probably make its way into my DVD player at some point. But as far as I'm concerned, this movie isn't too interesting. I know a lot of people are up in arms about it, but obviously I don't agree with what the movie says. I don't think it's true, but that's never stopped me from seeing a movie before. Alias, use Pearl.
Is there any reason why the front news items would show up in the blogosphere, search, subscriptions, etc., but not the journals? Nothing seems to carry them. Is that something you would need to enable support for so they could edit, or is it just the aggregators and search people all not caring?
I know that the Use Pearl journals show up on Google. They show up there pretty well. You know, a lot of times I'll be looking for something that I read in a Use Pearl journal, trying to find out more information about it, and that journal entry will be, you know, one of the top hits. So I know Google's picking it up. As far as aggregators, I don't know. If there's a specific aggregator you're talking about, you know, shoot me an email or something, or catch me on IRC and we can figure out which ones you want to see the journals on and how we can make that happen. Waltman, use Pearl.
The 2006 Red Sox. Great team, or the greatest team?
Well, obviously they can't be the greatest team until they win the World Series, which is going to happen, but we can't actually call them the greatest team until that does happen. Because the 2004 Red Sox are, of course, the greatest team of all time. Now, I did predict on October 27th, 2004, I said that the Red Sox would win the World Series in 2006. Not in 2005, but 2006. And the reason is simple. The Celtics in 1957 beat the St. Louis Hawks to win the World Championship. They did not win in 58, but then they won again in 59. The Boston Bruins beat the St. Louis Blues in 70, didn't win in 71, then won the Stanley Cup again in 72. The Patriots beat the St. Louis Rams in the 2001 season for the Super Bowl, then didn't win in 2002, then won again in 2003. The Red Sox beat the St. Louis Cardinals in 04, and so therefore would lose in 2005, which I predicted. Not that that was, you know, a grand prediction or anything, since they had lost the previous 86 seasons. But I predicted they would come back and win in 2006. So watch for that to happen, because it's the pattern. The Boston team doesn't win for a long time. Then they beat St. Louis. Then they lose the next season. Then they win the season after that. It's a verifiable pattern, so it must be true. Turg from Slashdot.
In your own words, how much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
Well, I'm not sure if anyone's ever said this before, but I'm pretty sure a woodchuck would chuck as much wood as a woodchuck could if a woodchuck could chuck wood. Blinder from Slashdot.
Why is it time to ask Pudge?
It is time to ask Pudge because I had some free time on my hands, which actually hasn't happened for quite a while. Naaman S from Slashdot.
In Star Trek TNG, Counselor Troi tells Samuel Clemens that on Earth, poverty was eliminated a long time ago. Clemens says that in his time men achieved power and wealth by standing on the backs of the poor, and that power was an end to itself. According to Troy, that is no longer the case. If such a future for humanity isn't worth the trade-offs in government, economics, and liberty, why not?
Well, first I just have to make a slight correction to what you said. Troy wasn't actually talking to Samuel Clemens. She was talking to Mark Twain. A lot of people make that mistake, so don't feel too bad about it. Now, as to the bulk of your question, you see, this is science fiction. It's not actually real. So far, no one has actually come up with a way that we can fulfill not only everyone's needs, but everyone's desires at no cost, not only to them, but to the rest of society. Normally, if I need something, then I have to get it from somebody who is going to have to get some sort of compensation to make it worth their while. You know, if there were no cost, if I could give you everything you needed without any cost to myself, I would do so. And so I think fiction is the operative part of the term of science fiction. DJ Berg 96, use Pearl. You're up.
What are your thoughts on Ruby and Python?
As far as Python, let me just say I'm not a fan. It's not that I hate the language, but it's the same age-old thing. It lacks, to me, the expressiveness that I want in a language that I'm going to be using for many hours a day, 5 to 7 days a week, for how many ever years I'm going to be doing this. I don't want to be doing it in Python. Ruby, however, I've never used, and I don't really know much about it, except that many Perl programmers I know and trust and respect really like Ruby. So if I were ever going to move on to another language, there's an excellent chance that Ruby would be that language. But who knows? Ovid, use Perl.
What are your thoughts on Perl 6, both the language and the development process?
The language, the answer to that is sort of what I said about Python. It's that, to me, it doesn't really look like a language that I'm going to be wanting to use for, many hours a day, for many days a week, for many years. I'm not quite sure what it is about it, but it's just not something that I really like at this point. And unlike a lot of people, a lot of programmers, I'm not really interested in learning lots of different languages. I just want to find a language or languages that will accomplish what I need to accomplish. And then I want to go and accomplish those things. So right now, Perl 6 really doesn't look too interesting to me personally, and I have no need to learn it, so I'm really not that interested in learning it. I was there at the original Perl 6 meeting back at OSCON. I can't remember how many ever years ago that was. Was it 2000 or something? And not the first meeting where the mug was thrown, but the meeting just after that one. And initially I was excited about it. I thought that this would just make Perl better. And not to say that it won't, but I just thought it was going to be Perl, but just improved. But it's really turned out to be, I think, a different language. It's a language based on many of the concepts of Perl. But I think Perl 6 is going to be more different from Perl 5 than PHP is. Maybe that's an exaggeration, maybe it's not, but it's still, I think it's safe to say, a different language, and I'm just not interested in learning a different language. As far as the development process, I thought there was a lot of really interesting stuff going on at the beginning. Of course, it took way too long and it was way too slow. Too slow for what? Too slow to keep a lot of people interested, too slow to meet the goals and expectations that people had for it and that the developers set for themselves. But it was still, I liked the whole process of the RFCs, people throwing out ideas, and then, one person or a cabal of people saying no, yes, this, no, that, and really just working through it that way. I thought that was a really interesting process, and I liked how it worked. It just could have been, you know, made more efficient. And I think, you know, I haven't followed the process too much in the last few years, so I can't really comment much on that. But I think the initial process, it worked well. It just was too slow. And why don't we take a little break right now, and we'll be right back with some more questions. And we're back, and our next question is from Dark Coder on Slashdot.
I got invited to a local political party district poolside party. Just not sure what the etiquette is. Is it informal, formal? Bring checkbook. Pretty babe in arms. Go with a famous ball player.
Yeah, political parties love money. It's pretty much that simple. So definitely, if you are so inclined, bring your checkbook. And it's not so much that they won't let you in if you don't bring money, but that's pretty much the whole reason why they have parties. Not the only reason. I am hosting a Republican party at my place in July, and it's just a chance for a bunch of volunteers to get together and relax. We're not going to be asking for money, but that's the rare exception. Most of them, they want money. But also, you know, as far as what you should wear, if it's a poolside thing, you know, just dress casually. I usually show up to either shorts or jeans in any political things I go to, unless it's, you know, the basic rule of thumb is the more money you pay, the better you dress. So if, you know, if you can show up for free, then, you know, just wear cutoffs and a t-shirt. Talonom, Slashdot, you're up.
I was watching Fox News last night and Ann Coulter was on. She said the same thing I have thought for a while. The Republican Party will be in power for a certain amount of time, then they will start to appease the Democrats, then they will lose power, then they will wonder what the frill happened, then they will gain a backbone and bring back the Republican Party only to have the cycle continue all over again. President Bush seems to be trying to appease everyone but is ticking off both sides. Why do they never learn that the only form of compromise that the Democrats understand is complete and total agreement with them or you are evil? Knowing that this is the case, it should show that the only way to maintain power is to never, ever compromise overly much. I am confused as to why they do not learn from history.
Well, I'm confused what never, ever, ever give in overly much means. You know, if you're going to compromise some, then how much is too much? But apart from that, this is the cycle that all political parties, especially when you have just a two-party system, that's how it works. Because in a two-party system, both major parties have to form coalitions with minority interests within those parties in order to gain power. And so over time, you're going to have to try to please both. You know, right now there's kind of two main coalitions in the Republican Party. You've kind of got the social conservatives and you've got kind of the pragmatic Republicans. And the pragmatic Republicans controlled the party since World War II up through Nixon, and then the conservatives basically took over the party with Reagan. But now that they've been in power for a while, they've had to really work with both sides, and that's how it's always going to be. The Democrats had the same problem, and they still have the same problem right now. They've got kind of the new Democrats and the moderate Democrats, you know, and you've got guys like Joe Biden and Joe Lieberman, but you also have kind of some of the people on the crazy left like Howard Dean, and you have this tension between these two factions in the party, and it's always going to be that way. So I don't know, you know, you talk about will they ever learn, and I don't know what there is to learn, because that's just the way it's going to be. Iced 773 Slashdot.
How did you choose the username Pudge? Commander Taco and Hemos have stories behind theirs, and Jamie, Cliff, and Timothy are pretty obvious, but what about you? And, if you know, where do Zonk and Scuttle Monkey come from? And while we're at it, who the heck are he unique and room?
Well, the story behind my nickname Pudge isn't all that interesting. When I was a kid, I played Little League like many kids, and I played catcher like many kids. I happened to also play catcher in Little League in the early 80s in Massachusetts, and I was slightly overweight, and there happened to be a very popular catcher for the Boston Red Sox at the time, who was slightly overweight. His name is Carlton Fisk. His nickname was Pudge. And so my oldest brother gave me that nickname. Ivan Rodriguez, who currently plays in the major leagues, also has the nickname Pudge. I presume he also got it from when he played as a youth. And, you know, either he or someone else liked Carlton Fisk and so gave him the nickname. I don't know. He has Pudge.org. I have Pudge.net. And ne'er the twain shall meet. As far as some of the others you've mentioned, Scuttle Monkey, I'm not exactly sure how the nickname came about, but he said that it was kind of a silly story and that it didn't really matter. Zonk, well, that's his nickname kind of sounds very similar to his actual last name. I'm not sure who he unique is. He hasn't posted in forever, and Vroom actually happens to be his last name, Tim Vroom of the Pearl Monk site, who also works for us on Slashdot. Raphael from Use Pearl.
What would be, for you, the perfect job?
The perfect job for me? Huh. I don't really think in those terms. I'm not sure. I mean, I enjoy doing what I'm doing, and if I didn't enjoy doing what I was doing, then I'd probably go do something else. I'm not really sure. If you have some ideas, let me know. Rail Gunner from Slashdot.
Have you checked out Striper's Reborn album yet? And as a follow-up, if so, what did you think?
I don't have the album. I've heard a few cuts from it, and I've heard, you know, little 30-second clips from each of the tracks, and it sounds pretty good to me. I'm not a big metal fan, so I didn't run out and get it, but I'll probably get it at some point. You know, I listen to tons of different kinds of music, and when I was in a band, my lead guitarist, who was also the best man at my wedding, he's a huge Striper fan, so I listen to a lot of Striper, and I have a few Striper albums, but I myself am not, you know, a huge Striper fan. But I'll probably get it at some point. But from what I have heard anyway, I think it sounds really good. It's, you know, I read one review that said that Michael Sweet hasn't lost anything off his voice, and I think that's clearly silly. He has lost quite a bit, but he still sounds good. And, you know, they don't do the same kind of music they used to do. So I think it fits really well. Kikta from Slashdot.
Why does reading or visiting Slashdot too often reduce the likelihood of getting mod points? I'm not complaining, just curious.
I have no idea whether or not that's true. People say that, but I don't really work in the moderation system at that level with all the different rules and algorithms and everything else that determines who gets mod points and when. And so I can't confirm whether or not that's true. And even if I did know those things, I probably wouldn't confirm whether or not that's true because, you know, we like to keep people, you know, we don't want people to game the system, so we don't want to tell them all the rules. But, you know, whether or not that's true, I don't know. If I had to guess, I would say it's not true. But, you know, I would guess that maybe if the more that you're on the site, the more, you know, it's possible that you're doing some sort of behavior that is going to reduce your likelihood of getting mod points, especially if you comment a lot, you know, if you get moderated down here and there. But, you know, I haven't really looked into it. Sorry. All right, no comment from Slashdot.
What did you use to make the Whopper theme that showed up on my iPod this morning? That was too funny.
Yeah, I hate that song. It's the only song that I've released that I hate. And all I did was take the theme song from the Burger King Super Bowl commercials, which the ad company that made these commercials, which I also hate, put up GarageBand versions of their songs so that you could remix them. So I just took that GarageBand file and I just added some spooky music and some kind of a, you know, psycho theme to it, just to so that people, when they heard the song, they could hear what was going on in my head when I saw those creepy Burger King commercials. Heliocentric from Slashdot.
Am I on the blacklist?
A similar question about moderation. You know, people wonder if they are on a blacklist for being able to moderate or other things. And I just, you know, I'm not sure what blacklist you're talking about, if it's for moderation, if you're talking about something else. There really isn't even a blacklist. I can say that. We don't have, you know, a list of people that says, you can't do things. But there are various algorithms that, you know, we say, you know, if you have these characteristics, maybe you've moderated poorly, maybe you've moderated poorly, maybe you've commented poorly, that might result in you not being able to moderate or do other things. But again, I have no idea really how it all works and what the specifics are, and I don't really want to know. I keep busy with my own projects. Jay McNamara on News Pearl.
What is the House of Pain, apart from a dodgy rap group?
The House of Pain is eating a big bowl of ice cream with a brownie and hot fudge after you've turned 30. Sully from Slashdot.
What does discussion 2 do to moderation? I don't really understand that part. The better / worse and more / less options seem odd to me.
Okay, that's, I'm not sure whether or not you know this, but that's kind of two different things. Discussion 2 related to moderation and related to kind of the behavior. Well, it depends on what you're asking, but basically discussion 2, so far nothing has changed with moderation. There are changes coming for moderation, but none of those have happened yet. The more, less, and better, worse options, what those do is they dynamically change the parameters that you can already set in your own user preferences and that you've been able to set for years. The threshold, which limits this minimum score for a comment in order for you to see it at all. And in threaded mode, there's also a highlight threshold, and that determines the minimum score for the full comment to be shown rather than just kind of a one-line version of the comment. And so what we've done in this first, you know, beta version of Discussion 2 is just give you these buttons that let you dynamically change those values. And we're coming up with a much better interface, but we just kind of wanted to get this basic functionality down of expanding threads and comments. And so these controls are just very rudimentary, and they will be going away, and they only change what you've already been able to change, you know, for years anyways. All right, Fort Knox on Slashdot.
Who'd you like to see as the next pres and vice pres?
I've given thought to it, but I haven't really come to any conclusions about it. My wife would like to see Mitt Romney and Lindsey Graham as the next president and vice president. I like both of those guys, but I haven't really decided who I would most like to see. You know, a lot of my conservative friends think I'm crazy for saying this, but I think that John McCain would make an excellent candidate, and it's not just because he's someone who can win, but because John McCain has something that almost nobody else has. He has the ability to really actually get in there and cut spending, because for years he's been one of the biggest deficit hawks that the Senate has seen in a long time. And as president, he knows how things work, and he could actually get spending cuts accomplished where I don't think very many other people could. So, you know, that reason alone makes me think that McCain would be an excellent candidate. But who knows? Ask me again in a year. Matt Gill from Slashdot.
Is Rossi going to run again for governor? If so, do you think he'll be able to pull it off this time?
Rossi will run for governor if he has no reason not to. And, you know, I've seen him talk a few times since the election, and as I expected, he refused to run for Senate. He really wants to be governor, but, you know, there's some time between now and the next governor election, and he's not going to say absolutely that he will run because he's got a family and there are other opportunities, and maybe he'll decide that it's just not feasible, depending on the political climate at the time, or maybe Maybe there'll be another better candidate come along. Who knows? But if when it's time to make the decision to run, if nothing has changed from now, then he will run. And I think he'll win. You know, he came real close to winning. And the Democrats have really ticked off a lot of people by going back on various initiatives, you know, especially like the needing the supermajority to pass tax increases and, you know, all the, those emergency spending clauses. And I think a lot of people are going to get really ticked off next year when they find out that we're already, Washington State is already in the red for next year, despite having a multi-billion dollar surplus this year because they've already spent the money. But we'll see. All right, this is the last question. It's Kimmer Most from Slashdot.
Have you heard about the cartoons published not too long ago by Marxist University of Oregon student magazine, The Student Insurgent? And what are your thoughts regarding the issue?
Yeah, these were the cartoons where, you know, there was another, I think it was a student paper, that published the Muhammad cartoons, you know, kind of as a statement to say, you know, we cannot be bullied into not printing these. And so this other paper decided, well, you know, we don't think you should offend Muslims, so we're going to print offensive cartoons about Jesus, which of course completely misses the point. Well, I don't know the exact reasons why this other paper printed them, but I know the reason that most papers printed them in Europe and in the United States was simply to say, we cannot be bullied. If you're going to tell us that you're going to kill us if we print them, then we're going to print them just because of that. We don't care what the content is. We're going to print them just because you tell us we can't print them. And I think that's a great reason to do it. These cartoons about Jesus, no one's saying you can't print cartoons about Jesus. We're just saying that you're an idiot if you do print offensive cartoons about Jesus. But you know, no one's saying we're going to kill you if you do. Well, maybe there are some people saying it, but there aren't that many, and I haven't heard it. So I just think it's kind of childish that they did it, but, you know, I'm not going to stone them for it, so whatever. Now it's time for Pudge Asks. If you could create or get rid of any holiday, what holiday would it be? Send in your answers when you send in your questions for next time. Thanks to all of our listeners and our questioners. If you would like to ask Pudge, there's a few simple ways you can do it. You can send an email to ask@pudge.net, ask@pudge.net. And that email can contain one of three things: a text question, a 1 megabyte or less audio file containing your question, or a link to an audio file where I can download your question. You can also post your question as a comment to one of my journal entries announcing the next Ask Pudge. That will be on Slashdot or use Pearl under username Pudge. And the rules are simple. You ask a question, I answer the question. One question per person per episode. I reserve the right to ignore questions for personal or contractual reasons. If you ask multiple questions, I will ignore every question after the first one. If I detect that you got someone else to ask your second question, then I will ignore that question. And I might even ignore the first, just because. To get more music from me, go to pudge.net/tunes. To get more about Ask Pudge, go to pudge.net/ask. Thanks for listening. See you next time.